You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. If you've driven across the Bay Bridge this month, you probably noticed the banner above the Treasure Island Tunnel that says Armenian Genocide 1915. It's been just over a century since the Ottoman Empire began to systematically kill what would eventually be 1.5 million Armenians. Waves of refugees immigrated to the Bay Area, fleeing the killings. Today, tens of thousands of people of Armenian descent live here. And this isn't just history. The Turkish government continues to deny that the genocide happened, and the U.S. government still doesn't use the word genocide. The family of KALW's Jeremy Dalmas came to San Francisco as part of the diaspora. He brings us this story of what it means to be Armenian a century after the genocide.
So this is the first floor of our school.
This picture is that the kids made?
Those are the kids made, yes.
Principal Grace Andonian shows me Armenian sayings along with illustrations by students.
So, for example, hair started growing on my tongue, which means that I have been repeating this over and over and over and over again.
We're at KZV Armenian School in San Francisco. I am a half Armenian, and I went to elementary school in San Francisco, but I didn't go here.
Another one is put an earring on your ear, means keep it in your mind.
Remember it.
To me, these two idioms perfectly describe what it can be like to be an Armenian American and talk about the Armenian genocide. It is so important to remember and to commemorate it, but at the same time, it can dominate the conversation. When we talk about ourselves to the world, this is what we talk about. Stories about the genocide follow a script, and they always sound something like this.
We have come to the desert in northern Syria to look for evidence of a mass murder.
The Armenian Genocide began under the cover of World War I. By 1923, 1.5 million Armenians were dead.
To this day, Turkey denies the genocidal intent of these mass murders.
But I want to try and tell my own story. A story not about what I know, but about how I feel. I want to understand how I feel today about something that happened 100 years ago to my ancestors. My grandfather was born in Erzurum, a city that's now in eastern Turkey. When the genocide started, his family was marched out of town towards Syria. He watched his father beheaded and then was forced to walk in circles in the desert, where his baby sister died because their mother couldn't nurse her. Somehow, he managed to escape westward, and in the 1920s, brought his family to San Francisco, where he set up a grocery shop in the Mission. I remember when I first heard the details about what happened to my grandfather. I was a kid, a few years younger than he probably was. The next day, I went on the playground and told other kids that my grandfather had watched his father murdered in front of him. And then I felt instantly guilty about it, because I was boasting. Look what makes us unique and different. I suppose it was my way of processing it. It's that tug both ways. I want to remember, but how do I talk about this? As a child, I struggled with that. And I still do now. Many Armenian Americans feel the issue will remain unresolved until Turkey recognizes what their ancestors did to ours. But do I need that acknowledgement? Maybe if I hear that denial, it will strike a nerve.
I don't know anything about it, but I want to know the truth. I think we should leave it up to the historians and let history decide.
That's an online video by a Turkish group called Let History Decide. Their message is that historians should look at the facts and decide whether or not it was a genocide, as if that hasn't been happening already for decades.
Let history decide.
Let history decide.
They show the faces of people from around the world who all repeat the same phrase.
Let history decide.
They're from Miami, Honduras, Maryland, and then...
Let history decide.
They show a picture of someone from Erzurum, the city my grandfather was born in. The man is looking out at me and saying everything my grandfather experienced never happened. Watching this made me hold my head in my hands and stumble across the room. It feels like this man is trying to personally attack me and is enjoying doing it. I could say that I won't be able to move on from this until the genocide is recognized by people like him, but do I have that luxury? What if they never do? And it makes me wonder how this feels for other Armenians like me. So I spend hours talking with other Armenians about it. Specifically to Armenians of my generation, around 30. How do they feel 100 years on? Hazmik Gengamian is a 32-year-old civil and human rights lawyer who lives in Oakland. She tells me April is a delicate month for her. On the 24th, the day we commemorate the genocide, she takes it especially easy.
I take the day off and I light a candle. I pray. I burn some sage. I call in my ancestors. I remember them. Sometimes I partake in a march. Sometimes I just want to be in silence somewhere in nature. I think we're a testament to how something 100 years ago still impacts us.
33-year-old Greg Nemet feels the same way. He's lived in the Bay Area for 13 years and is involved with an Armenian fraternal organization called Knights of Vartan.
And you get people saying like, oh, 100 years does not matter. That 100 years ago was yesterday. It's because of the burden that we carry, you know? We process constantly.
I definitely process. But do I feel burdened? As much as I am thinking about this, I still don't know what I feel. I also spoke with his sister, 28-year-old Rose Nemet.
Got hit with the Armenian activist bug right after college. It's very much part of who I am.
She talks about how it's difficult to keep explaining to non-Armenians the importance of the genocide.
I feel like it's my responsibility to do so, that I don't want to relinquish to somebody else. But on the other hand, it's like, why is the onus on me to spend all of my time doing this over and over again? It's like reliving it.
It sounds like for her, there is that tug back and forth, but for a different reason. For her, it's too painful, whereas for me, I think I want to feel the pain. I wanted to understand more.
Why do you think that something that happened at this point 100 years ago is like affecting you today?
Yeah. Her brother answers.
Because it's so close to home. That child that was walked through the desert, that's my relative. That's my brother. That's my sister, you know?
Rose Nemet jumps back in.
Being a part of a people where your genocide is still under question, you know, still kind of up for debate, you feel like you have to state your case to everybody. Like you're accused of something. Like literally, like Tim, for me, that like goes from zero to hit you in the face, you know, in seconds.
Then she turns the question back around to me.
I'd love to hear how you feel about that. Do you still feel like you carry it with you? Maybe not as... I'm wondering if the volume is high or if it's off or...
Okay. Moment of truth. I'm obviously still talking about the genocide, but do I feel it? Maybe that's the issue. I care about it and I think about it, but it feels distant. And I can't make myself feel things that I do not feel. Then I worry that I'm being Armenian wrong. But Greg Nemet brings me back down to earth.
So I see an Armenian person when I'm talking to you. You have as much right as that guy, or as that woman, or as anybody. That's it. End of story. That's it.
It feels good to hear him say that. Maybe that's what I needed to hear. I have definitely felt that by not being Armenian enough, I am a living symbol that the genocide was successful. I think that's something that a lot of Armenians feel. It's silly, but it's real.
I was like, oh, like, me not being Armenian, does that mean, like, Turkey won? Like, you know?
And, like, I think we're all laughing because we all have these, like, little checklists in our heads that say Turkey won. You know, like, if they're not, you know, like, if we don't hit all those bases.
So, if we're struggling with this at 30, I wanted to know how an even younger generation feels. Back at the Armenian school, I meet Principal Grace Andonian.
We'll be going into the 8th grade.
Okay, boys and girls.
What did you just say to me?
We said good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon to you as well.
Me and about 15 8th graders all sit in a circle on the floor of their class. They're all wearing their school uniforms and are excited to talk with me. This is the first generation to grow up without family members who went through the genocide. I asked the students if they've ever met any survivors. They haven't. Jennifer Kazarian answers me.
Last year, someone died, a survivor. That was the last known survivor of the Armenian genocide in the Bay Area.
They know all about the genocide. I ask a question and their hands shoot up. Eighth grader Caroline Amanian explains how she feels about people talking about the genocide.
The Armenian genocide isn't like the only Armenian, like it doesn't define Armenians. Like we have over like 3,000 years of history, and after people recognize the Armenian genocide, we can kind of move forward and have people recognize our culture, like and all that.
And that like you don't want to like be defined.
No.
By the genocide.
No, I don't think that's really right.
As I get ready to leave, they recite a poem for me, celebrating Armenian culture.
Son, tam yev varujan, yelekna kirchov yerketsi parket, kezi enza im hayrenik.
If this were your usual Armenian genocide piece, this would be where I talk about how I can't rest until the genocide is recognized by Turkey. Except, for me, personally, I choose for that not to be true. I want recognition, but I don't want to wait another 100 years for Turkey to play catch up. I don't want the darkness to continue to dominate my relationship with my culture. I've done my genocide piece. Next time you tune in, it'll be a piece about this great new Armenian queer magazine I found, about me trying to discover Armenian paganism, or about my famous Armenian cousin, Cher. This will be my way of celebrating my ancestors. I'll keep the earring in my ear to remember, but I want to stop repeating this. No more hair on my tongue. For Cross Currents, I'm Jeremy Dalmas.